Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Have you learned these investment principles? The investment principle number one of spiritual partnering, two of grace overflowing, three of consistently sacrificing, the final investment principle of investing eternally.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Today we're concluding our study in Philippians with a lesson titled Investment Principles. But don't be confused, it's not about the stock market. It's about laying up treasure in heaven and how this perspective will transform your approach to life, your time, and your resources. And remember, if you'd like to replay any lessons, just go to theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Today I'm going to give you some investment principles. No, I'm not talking about financial investments or getting rich. I'm going to talk about investing in heaven. Jesus called it laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Now, at the end of Philippians, incidentally, this is the last message in our series on the book of Philippians, Paul gives some very important investment principles. Earlier, Paul wrote that life for him was Christ and to die was gain. In other words, Paul was investing not in this world, but in the world which was to come. I realize not one of us is an apostle, but we're all serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We all want to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. So let's listen as Paul gives some investment principles. Some may surprise you.
Our subject is investment principles. Philippians 4, verse 14. Yet it was kind of you. Well, let me read from verse 13. Paul says there, I can do all things through him, through Christ, who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And God's people said, Amen. I suspect all of us have much to learn on this important subject of biblical investment. The first principle I want us to see is the investment principle of spiritual partnership. Paul and the Philippians were partners on the same team. Verse 15, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. How wonderful. Paul is saying that the Philippians shared with him. And the Philippians gave, even although they were experiencing deep poverty and affliction. We know that from 2 Corinthians 8. The churches in Macedonia were Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. And yet, although they were very, very poor, these believers here, such was their love for Paul, that they sent a gift all the way to Rome through Epaphroditus. And here in verse 15, Paul is very thankful for this church who entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving. Christian giving is not just throwing a check or cash into an offering plate. I hope you do that, but it's much more. Our giving is a deeply spiritual act. It is a spiritual partnership. It's being on the same team, standing with others in the various circumstances of life and ministry. Here is the principle, an investment principle, that when you give, you're entering into a spiritual partnership. Now, investment principle number two, the investment principle of grace overflowing. God is the source of all grace. Notice how Paul begins the letter in Philippians 1, verse 2. After the introduction in verse 1, he says in verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not just a cliche. He's asking that God's grace will be on them. Notice how he finishes here in chapter 4, verse 23. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. As Christians, we give financially in this spiritual partnership, not because we're required by law, not out of obligation, but rather as an overflow of grace. God's grace, Paul says in Ephesians 1, has been lavished upon us. How has God saved you? How does God bless you? It is grace upon grace. Look back over your life. Think of the times that we mess up when we turn from God. Think of the tenderness of God in our lives, of how he has blessed us so abundantly over and over and over again. The lavishness of grace. Blessed, says Paul, with every spiritual blessing. And the gospel is a gospel of grace. It's a gospel of giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, says Paul. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And now out of hearts, responding to God's grace, we are to give, you and I are to give, freely, generously, and cheerfully. That's the principle of grace overflowing. And Paul says here something very remarkable of the Philippians in verse 15, that they started to give in the beginning of the gospel. They were saved, and they immediately started to give. You know, one of the very encouraging things as I meet with new believers, I know that they are growing and that God is working. When they say to me, well, how much should I give? I want to give. Tell me about this giving as a Christian. Perhaps before they came to Christ, they were very selfish, very self-centered. Oh, they wasted their money on their own life. Perhaps on alcohol or drugs or selfishness or buying things they really didn't need. It was all about them. But now, as a response to the gospel, as God's grace is poured into their hearts and their lives, they begin to become less selfish. Their eyes are open to the needs of others. Before there was selfishness, now there is kindness, and they want to give as an evidence of God's grace. Not because their arm is twisted, not just out of guilt or manipulation, but out of grace. God's grace poured out on them, and now we give freely and generously. Isn't there something wrong with the Christian who isn't generous? Isn't that a contradiction in terms? You say, well, I don't have much money. I'm not talking about how much money you have. We can all be generous. If we're wealthy, we give a lot. If we're poor, we can't give so much. But the principle is the same. We are generous givers. And from the time of our salvation, from that moment of salvation, we begin to give. There was a man, they said, was mad. The more he gave away, the more he had. And some of us could testify that, couldn't we? That we can never outgive God. And that as we give as an act of faith. We give to the Lord. Jesus said, you received without paying. Give without pay. Matthew 10, verse 8. Luke 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. I mean, after all, if you don't give, how can you expect to receive? And many of you here could stand up and testify that as you have given to the Lord and as you have stepped out in faith, God has met you and God has blessed you in amazing ways. The investment principle then of spiritual partnering, Number two, the investment principle of grace overflowing. Number three, the investment principle of consistently sacrificing. Consistent sacrificing. The Philippians gave consistently. Verse 15, they gave in the beginning of the gospel. Remember when Paul and Silas and others first went to Philippi, they were warmly received into the homes of Lydia and the jailer. These new believers, immediately they gave, they opened their hearts and their homes to the apostles. And this sacrificial giving, which began back then as the church was established, has continued now. Verse 16, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. They participated in the gospel, chapter 1, verse 5, from the first day until now. There was a consistent sacrificial giving. Not just one payment, but a long-term investment. Giving consistently. Let me ask you, are you giving consistently to the Lord? Did you once give generously and now have stopped giving? Or are you giving grudgingly? You say, well, times are tough. I understand that. But we are still to give. I recommend that we give on a weekly basis. Paul talked of the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, who laid aside a little on the first day of the week. I realize most of us don't get paid every week. I don't. But I do give every week. Every Saturday night, I take out my checkbook and I write a check. I put it in the envelope. I give it to my wife so that she can have the joy of actually placing it in the offering. I don't do that legalistically, but I do it as a weekly reminder that everything I have comes from the Lord. Most of us are creatures of habits, and if we begin that habit, I believe it will help us to give consistently. They also give, the Philippians gave sacrificially. They gave in their affliction and out of their poverty. And Paul here is saying that all of his needs were met in full, but he was very thankful for the church in sending this little gift by Epaphroditus, verse 18. Verse 19, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Isn't that amazing? I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Do you notice that words that he uses? The words of sacrifice, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Here Paul is using the language of the Levitical offerings. The burnt offering in Leviticus 1, for example, ascended to God as a fragrant aroma to the Lord. As the priest was offering up that bull as a burnt offering to the Lord, it ascended as a fragrant offering to the Lord. In the same way, says Paul to the Philippians, when you gave that money to me by the hands of Epaphroditus, that ascended to God as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice, verse 18, acceptable and pleasing to God. What an incredible description of a material gift. You understand why it's part of offering? The offering is part of our worship. Is your offering being presented to God as a fragrant aroma? If God was pleased with a burnt offering under the Levitical system, how much more to we, his people, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, is he pleased when you and I give sacrificially to the Lord? Give generously, give consistently, give sacrificially. A pig and a hen were walking past the church and saw a sign, free bacon and egg breakfast served. The hen, strutting along, said to the pig, I'm a very spiritual hen. I donated 6 eggs for the free breakfast. The pig said, that's easy for you. When you give eggs, that's an offering. When I give bacon, it's a sacrifice. Are we just giving a few eggs? Throwing in a few dollars? Or are we giving as a spiritual offering? exercise. The investment principle number one of spiritual partnering, two of grace overflowing, three of consistently sacrificing, the final investment principle of investing eternally. Notice that the Philippines receive a staggering promise in verse 19, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." That's amazing, isn't it? That blows the mind. That verse is often taken out of its context and applied to any circumstance. But one of the main principles, in fact, the main principle of interpretation of Scripture, is context. It's often said that a text without a context is a pretext. Scripture must always be interpreted in its context. And this marvelous promise here in Philippians 4, verse 19, is given in the context of the Philippians consistently partnering with Paul in the gospel. Out of their poverty, out of their affliction, they had consistently given to Paul generously and sacrificially. Epaphroditus, who had taken that gift from the church at Philippi to Paul, had risked his own life in doing so. And to such people who are investing eternally, this promise comes. My God. See, Paul knew what he was talking about, didn't he? My God will supply every need of yours. What an impact that must have made to that little church at Philippi when the mighty apostle who had proved God over and over again, this man of great faith, says to them, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." This is the Pauline parallel of Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." My dear brother, my dear sister, put God first in your life. If Jesus Christ is first in your life, if you trust God, if you obey God, if you seek first the kingdom of God, all of these things will be taken care of. This is the promise. My God will supply every need of yours. Where does that come from? According to his riches, his infinite riches in glory in Christ Jesus. All of God's riches are available to those who give generously and sacrificially out of an overflow of God's grace. Isn't that encouraging? We have many material and physical needs, don't we? Work, family, economic health, relationships, accommodation. We have many spiritual needs. Forgiveness, overcoming temptation, not being anxious, knowing the peace of God, being thankful, not complaining, pressing onward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Many material needs, many emotional needs, many physical needs. But God in his grace has promised to supply all of the needs, not all of the wants, not all of the luxuries of life, but all of the needs of those who are investing eternally. I talked this morning about being strong in grace, that we would be adequate for every good work, and that when God calls us, he qualifies us through his word and through his spirit. And when you're walking with God, and when you're seeking first his kingdom, when you are honoring God in all of your ways, when you're trusting the Lord with all of your heart and leaning not in your own understanding, when you do that, all of the wisdom you need, God will supply. God always, always keeps his promises. And God is never, never a reluctant giver. And God gives according to the immensity of his infinite wealth. The grace to supply our needs comes according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, verse 19. He has infinite riches, and all of these riches are now available to his people. Yes, it is true, we will enter into the fullness of these riches in eternity, but here on earth, in our weakness, in our struggles, God will supply all of our needs out of His infinite riches. And you cannot have a need too great for God to supply. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or imagine or think, according to the power that is at work within us. God's grace is lavished upon us, grace upon grace. No wonder Paul says here in verse 20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here is theology leading to doxology. I conclude. Have you learned these investment principles? You're holding back because you think God will not take care of you tomorrow? Holding back today in your giving because you're afraid of tomorrow? Are you lacking faith? Could it be you're beginning to turn into an ultra-cautious, rather greedy person? Are you forgetting the abundance of God's riches in glory in Christ Jesus? See, these truths of spiritual investment will revolutionize how we handle our resources. Be generous. Review your giving patterns. Those who do research on these tell us that the vast majority of Christians think they're giving more than they're actually giving. That when Christians are asked, what percentage of your income do you give to the Lord? Most of us are too optimistic this week. Look back over this past year. Take out some paper and pencil and work out exactly how much you've given, how much you've made, and you will see the exact proportion, the exact percentage of how much you've given, and perhaps you need to review your giving patterns. Give as a spiritual partnership. Give out of grace overflowing. Give consistently and sacrificially, knowing that God is pleased with such giving. And as you do, claim this glorious promise, my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's it. In God's grace, as Paul has told us over and over again in this wonderful little epistle, let us press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled Investment Principles. As we wrap up our study in the book of Philippians, we want to remind you that there's still time to request our current featured resource. It's John's latest booklet called Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters. This unique resource offers a clear biblical understanding about the reality of sin. The truth is, all of us are sinful and imperfect human beings, and our sin separates us from God, impacting every aspect of our lives and relationships. You may actually be surprised at how subtle some sins can be, but forgiveness and a fresh start are available to everyone through Jesus Christ. So, request your free copy of this helpful booklet today by going online to theverdict.org. And while you're on our website, you can also help us continue sharing the truth of God's Word to fellow listeners by supporting The Verdict with a donation of any amount. Through your generous giving, you can actively participate in reaching your community and beyond with the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give any amount, simply visit theverdict.org or send a donation in the mail to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And then just as a quick reminder, you can get each of these messages downloaded automatically to your mobile device and listen anytime, anywhere by subscribing to The Verdict Podcast. It's available on your podcast app. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? How are you doing in terms of your investments? These types of investments are not ones that rely on the stock market. God, who is the source of all grace, encourages us to give freely and generously. May you give sacrificially, generously, and cheerfully, and claim the glorious promise that my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches of glory in Christ Jesus. Put your trust in Him and invest wisely. Don't forget to join me next time as we return to the fascinating book of Revelation.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.